I thank the Lord to be a child of God. My personal testimony is, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm a happy sheep. So I thank the Lord for what he's done for me. The burden that the Lord has given us this morning is actually for all of us. It's for the unsaved. It's for the saved. It's for the saved and sanctified. And we're all in one of those places. So I desire your prayer that the Lord would help us to express the burden that he has laid on our heart. I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke, the 10th chapter. It's something we're all familiar with. The word I have written on the board is laborer. Second verse of the 10th chapter says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." A laborer. What do you think of as a laborer? Well, one who labors, yes. In the physical world, what does a laborer do? Perhaps works with his hands. Perhaps designs something. Creates an idea. In the workforce, there are a lot of laborers. In the church, in the spiritual realm, not just church, spiritual realm, what is a laborer? We always think a missionary, a teacher, a minister. I would like to elaborate on a laborer. We went to a place in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where they assembled cars, Corvettes. It was very interesting. You were able to walk among the assembly workers, and one might put a door handle on all day. That's the job they were to have. The next line might be someone assembling the door. Then the next part of the line, it might be someone assembling the windshield. It's more intricate than that. I'm being broad here. The most interesting job was when the finished product came off the line. There was a room that had tires built into the floor, and you could take the Corvette, run it on those tires, and go very fast and never leave the room. And they could tell the performance of the car. Now that would be a job to have, wouldn't it? Never get a speeding ticket. See the performance of the car. But they were all laborers together for that one particular item. We're all to be laborers. We like to define it as those three categories I just mentioned. And that way, it relieves us of any responsibility. Wrong. The Lord is interested in his kingdom. It said he set the members of the body. And it was important to him that each part worked. What would happen if the... You know, I've thought of the assembly line. You know, eventually there's maybe a small item and there's a box. You put it in the box. You tape the box, put the shipping label on it, send it out. There's somebody that does that. What if they decided, I don't want to tape any more boxes. I'm not putting the shipping label on anymore. What would happen to the product? It would never get sent out. And you know, sometimes we like to think that there are only those factions mentioned when the Lord said, I set the members. And there's no job too large or too small. They're all important in my kingdom. I would like to turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. This is a common problem. Matthew, the 25:16, it says, Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them, let me start at the first. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. What were these talents? It's money. Responsibility. That's what we want to say. The responsibility that each of them took. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Do you know there's a reckoning day? What did the Lord place in your hands? We like to think of talents as my special abilities. I can sing well. I can speak well. That's what the Lord's going to use me to do. Wrong. It is in your weakness that the Lord shows his strength. And sometimes we hide because we feel like I don't have any special talent. The Lord has given each one of us a responsibility. And so he had received 5 talents and brought another 5, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Spiritually speaking, that's what we want to do. We want to receive the 5 and gain the 5. That's what we want to do. But there was another responsibility given. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art as a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Here's the problem we have. Lord, I've enlisted in the service till I die. And all you made me was a water boy. I wanted to be the athlete out there. Why am I just the water boy? Let me tell you what happens to water boys. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Before we read this, though, I want to ask you, if there's not a water boy, what happens to the athlete? He'll pass out. He'll die without water. If there's a soldier without water, what happens to the soldier? Is that not important in God's kingdom? And yet, when the Lord gives us one responsibility, we don't want to do it. Lord, I wanted to do great things in your kingdom, and you're asking me to just have 1 talent. And we go and we hide it. And there's a responsibility in that, because the Lord's going to require that one of you. We hide it. On the other hand, back to the talents. There was 8 talents given. 5 to one, 2 to another, 1 to another. You can have a spirit of condescending self-righteousness and wanting to have 8 talents and be responsible for 8 talents, when the Lord did not make that for you right now at all. What would happen if on the assembly line someone rushed in and said, I'll put in the windshield. Let me put in the door. Let me wrap it. Let me tape it. Can one person do it all? No. And in God's kingdom, one person can't do it all. You'll end up being self-righteous, and you'll have a little martyr attitude. And that's not how the Lord created it at all. He wanted you to have joy in the service of the Master. He wanted you to have joy in one talent and joy in 5. Joy in one responsibility and joy in 5. Lord, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to since I was a little girl. That may be your heart's desire. But all you made me was a water boy, water girl. Get this right. Matthew, the 10th chapter, it says, 42nd verse, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord's interested in water boys. He's interested in water girls. The important thing is that you've come before the Lord with the heart that says, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. You know, we like to tell the Lord what we want to do. Lord, I'll do anything for you, but, and then you fill in the blank. Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to, but there. I'm not going there. I don't like living there. It's ugly. It's not pretty. I don't want to live there. Do you know the Lord has set the members in his kingdom, and where do you fit? Because there is no job too large or too small. He's interested in your service for him. As it has already been mentioned, the water boy situation, if there wasn't that there, someone dies. Someone's not cared for. There's no job too small or too large in the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to go to establish Romans 12 and 4. We've already said that, but I do want to establish that. Romans 12 and 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. What is a body made of? Physical body. Arteries, blood, heart, lungs, organs, skin. There are a lot of unseen parts. We see our skin, we see our face, our eyes, our nose, but what about the heart? We don't see the heart. Well, maybe we don't need the heart. What would happen if we don't have a heart? We die. Lord, it's just blood. I don't want to have to be the unseen part. But what if you don't have blood? What happens? You die. You cannot survive. They said the Lord has set the members. And the Lord has a place for you. The Lord has a place for you. The laborer is not just the 3 things I mentioned. It's all things. There are a lot of people who decide not to get saved because they don't want to pay that price. If I get saved, the Lord will call me to preach. If I get sanctified, that's the excuse everybody has usually. Lord will call me to preach. You're still responsible. And if you choose not to get saved, you'll be responsible for what the Lord had you to do in the kingdom and you failed to do. You'll come to the Lord, and when he opens that book and your name is not there, you've also neglected other names that could be there. That's the seriousness of this message. A laborer. The Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows that I can't speak well. The Lord knows that I don't have any special talents. So I'll do this for the, you know, the best thing you can do for the Lord, consecrate yourself to Him. When I say there's people that are out there saying, we need, I want to carefully say this. Where's our outreach efforts? Okay, let's go to my congregation in Alabama. How many new converts have you had recently? How many outsiders have you had coming in? You start getting a statistic here. How many this or that? And when you start coming up with zero numbers, you start feeling like, then I need to get an outreach effort together. And I'm here to tell you, the Lord's taking care of that. If you're in your place, it's all taken care of. Paul sowed. Apollos watered. Who gave the increase? God. When you're in your place, everything works out fine. It's when you're not in your place that there comes a lack. Abraham. Let's go study Abraham. The 11th chapter. This is something that I think that we become guilty of. Because we get a little bit self-conscious, maybe. We're beginning to look at ourselves rather than looking out there to the world. We're wanting to, and yes, it's wonderful when the Holy Spirit can examine your life and you say, Lord, search me. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is we start looking at, we're digging for results, and they're coming up zeros. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 12th verse. Well, let's go back to the 9th verse. We're talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That night, Abraham had just been up on the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. He was getting ready to, he was willing to sacrifice the son of promise, knowing that the Lord was going to take care of him. So you know the emotions that he was feeling that night, that day when there was a ram caught in the thicket, the Lord said, slay the ram. I understand where you're coming from now, Abraham, and I believe you're going to be faithful to me. That night, he had been through such a roller coaster of emotions, no doubt. And he was probably standing on a hill thinking, Lord, I'm relieved, but that was sure hard. The retrospect of it. And the Lord said, I'll give you from this child of promise more than you can count, just like the stars. Yeah. Have you ever tried counting stars? Pretty tough, isn't it? Pretty tough. I'll give you children of promise like the sand of the sea. Have you ever gone to the beach to count the grains of sand? It's kind of hard, isn't it? But that's the promise we were given. And when you're in the spot that the Lord wants you to be, by faith, you can look and see the stars. And you can look and see the sand. Maybe your numbers still come up zero. But if you're in the place you're supposed to be, the Lord's already taken care of that. sand, stars, innumerable hosts. Do you know John, the fourth chapter? Let's go there. The fourth chapter and the 35th verse. Thirty-five says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto a life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Yes. You may sow and sow and sow and never see the reaping.
That's so.
Do you know why? It's not meant for us to see the reaping. By faith, Abraham never saw those children as the stars of heaven or as the sand. He never saw that. But he performed by faith. He practiced his faith. And you know, by faith, you can do what the Lord is wanting you to do.
Yes.
Right here, right now. Actually, you're supposed to be doing that. I think of, let's go to the little boy's lunch, or the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, Matthew 14. In the 17th verse. Let's go back 15. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Is that what they started out with? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And they that had eaten were 5,000 men, beside women and children. Say 5,000 men. Say each one brought, on the average, 1 woman, 1 wife, 1 child. That's 15,000 people. 5 loaves and 2 fish. How did that happen? Someone was willing to give their lunch. Someone was willing to give the little they had. The little you have. The Lord can feed 15,000 with it. We're just too embarrassed. It's just 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's hardly enough for one person, much less 2 people. But little is much when God is in it. Make sure you're in the place where you're supposed to be. And by faith, it'll be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. We're not really meant to see the results, because we might get lifted up. You might see a little result, but you're not going to see all of it. Every word spoken to benefit God's kingdom has its increase. We can never know the power of that. Every effort given to promote the kingdom of God. Well, all I do is take out trash. Okay? What if you didn't? It can be a serious problem real quick. And when the Lord gives you something to do, do it with all your might. Don't slop around with it. Don't bury the one talent. Lord, I'll be happy to take out the trash for you. I'm happy to do it. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Before I start on that, I've thought of the consecration to the Lord. You know, it's like dishes. You're a dirty dish. The Lord washes you up, rinses you, dries you off, and when you consecrate, you allow him to put you on the shelf. Yes. To use as he sees fit. Whether much am I due in his vineyard or small be the place that I feel. Right. A woman's cabinet has lots of utensils. Some we may only use once a year. Others we may use every day. Yes. That's not for you to know. Your responsibility is to say, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll be the teacup. If you want me to be the teacup that's only used once a year, or if it's the iron skillet, I'll be the iron skillet that's in the fire, in the heat, a lot. Can't do without an iron skillet. Can't fry bacon and sausage and anything that's quite as good as an iron skillet. Can't bake cornbread and anything that's quite as good as an iron skillet. Iron skillet is usually the one that's used most often. Any household might have something different. In God's household, he knows where you're supposed to be. And be there. Too many times we want to stay in the dishwater and we don't want to get out. I don't want to. The Lord might call me to do this. I just want to be the dish in the dishwater. How useful is that? Can you use a dish in the dishwater? Not till it has been rinsed, dried, and put away. The Lord is interested in you being ready on his shelf. Yes. For much I can do in his vineyard, or small be the place that I feel. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll be happy to do anything for you. Do you know you can wake up in the morning saying that? What can I do for you today, Lord? What can I do for you today? And do you know what he'll do? He'll start giving you jobs to do every day. I want you to wake up with a smile on your face. I want you to greet the world with the happiness of Jesus in your heart. Do you know the world needs Jesus? And who better to give it than a child of God that has it written all over their face? I want to give you Jesus. You look like you need a hug today. I see that you're troubled today. What's happening? What's going on? I'm going to be praying for you. Prayer. Prayer warriors. I've thought of prayer. That seems like such a little thing. Lord, nobody knows when I pray. Nobody knows that I spend time in prayer. The Lord revealed to me prayer moves. If you could peel back the physical realm into the spiritual realm, prayer moves mountains. It creates earthquakes. It shakes things up. And all you're saying is these little feeble words. Where is it carried to? How is it carried to the throne of God? By the Holy Spirit, with groanings and utterings. We can't comprehend because the Lord knows what we need. Prayer. Could that be the responsibility the Lord is calling you to do? It needs to be. In that spiritual realm, it stops the enemy. If one can chase 1,000, two in prayer can chase 10,000. It's far more powerful than we give it credit. Every effort for the Lord, every dollar for the Lord, every word for the Lord, we'll gain much more than we'll ever be able to comprehend. Because right here, we're just going through the motions. I'm pulling this part, screwing it onto this. I'm pulling this part, screwing it onto this. It's all I do, all day long. But there is a finished product that we'll see in glory one day. I thank the Lord for that. Sister Opal Kelly was in Mexico. The Lord had given her a lesson, message. And she went to the meeting place. Time went by. Service time came. Nobody came. Nobody came. She said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? There's nobody here. He said, preach it anyway. And here's what happens. Isaiah 55 and 12. 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Many times, we want to see how that is accomplished, but it's not for us to see. We'll probably never see it. But when you spend time speaking for the kingdom of God, exhorting, testifying, when that comes out of your mouth, the Lord sends it out. And you know, I've thought about that. There was no one there to hear it. Really wonder what, how can that be returned? I believe it was returned. I don't know how, because God's bigger than I am. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. But she was faithful to what the Lord had given her. Maybe the people that were supposed to be there are now responsible for what she preached that they didn't hear. Do you know that happens? Say, well, hindrances, busyness, things come along, and if I'm not there, I'm not responsible for it. That's not true. The spirit of neglect you will be responsible for. The words that you could have heard are not going to return void, because there's a day of reckoning for all of that. The labor. I like to give you an example. And I say it again, when you're in your place, outreaches of the Lord. I could, at my own desire, I could go down to Oklahoma City. I could procure a building of some sort, and I could establish a time when everybody meets together for missionary work. If I wanted to do that, I could do that. But what would be missing in that? If the Lord didn't call me to do it, it's a vain work. And we want to give the increase. When it said God gives the increase, that's not our business. Sowing, reaping, watering, it's not our business to give the increase. The Lord gives the increase. Just be where you're supposed to be. It's not a story, and I won't be able to get all of the details right. This is my husband's family. It's on the Marler side. Aunt Katie Marler was moving into a house, and she had a hunger in her soul. Whoever had been in that house had left a faith and victory. Faith and victory, Brother Willie. It's not lost. It's not lost. It ministered to her. She was able to get a hold of truth for herself, for her family, for the Gentry family, for the Miller family. I really can't tell you how many lives that one faith and victory touched. But I will tell you, I'm a happy wife, because I have a good husband. Now, how much of that affected that? We'll never know. And who planted that faith and victory there? I have no idea. But the hunger was there. The need was met. The increase of whoever left that probably never knew how that happened. But it affected, didn't it? It's a happy effect. I am a thankful woman today, because of something that happened 60 years ago. I don't know who that, I don't even know who Aunt Katie is. I never met her. It perpetuates. And it's bigger than you can even imagine. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. If you are not saved, I entreat you, not only for your salvation, but what the Lord wants to do for you, or with you in his kingdom. I entreat you, be saved. I have also learned let me continue. When you are saved, rejoice in the blood of the Lamb, but be willing to be washed, rinsed, dried, and shelved. Consecrate yourself to Him. Every effort, there's no job too small or too large. If you're consecrated, and maybe you need a reconsecration, Lord, I'll do anything for you. What can I do? Can I bake you a cake today to go give somebody? I'll be happy to do it. Do you know there is joy in the service of the Master? I've noticed with children, when they don't have anything to do, what happens? You start having fusses, fights, contention, problems, and they get into trouble. But if you keep them busy, they're contented. Do you know in the kingdom of God, it's like that too? I've found when people don't have a lot to do, there's a lot more gossiping, a lot more backbiting, a lot more contention, a lot more strife. But when you're busy doing something for the kingdom of God and can be happy doing it, you don't have time for any of those other things. You just really don't. And it's really not that important after all, because it does not promote the kingdom of God. So I'm here to tell you, there is joy in the service of the Master. I have learned in the little place that we are in, there in Alabama, the numbers probably would come up zero. But by faith, I'm happy to say I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. And He's made me happy there. And I have found that with responsibility, the Lord sometimes doubles that. And that's okay. But He's not wanting me to do it all. He's not asking me to go somewhere, everywhere else. He's not requiring that of one minister. We're not heroes. We're just servants of God. That's all we are. We serve it. Would you like some more water? Can I get you something else to eat? Can I make you more comfortable? Are you needing help on this line? Let's pray together. That's what a minister is. That's all a minister is. And we're all required. We're each one responsible. Where's your responsibility? I desire you pray for me.